Welcome then to this class, which is really the second class on popular music. And having looked last week at different key concepts which help us to understand how popular music works, I'm going to go on today to look at different genres of music and how some of these things apply. But there was one, the last concept I didn't manage to talk about last week, and this was the concept of palimpsest. That's P-A-L-I-M-P-S-E-S-T-E. And you'll be pleased to know that in French, on dit palimpseste. Yeah, that, so now you know. Okay, now what is palimpsest? It's a very important idea. Now, originally, the meaning is, if you take a very old manuscript, do you know the meaning of the word? No. If you take a very old manuscript from the 15th century, the paper was very expensive, and so they would write on it, and then scratch it out and write on it again, but you can see the old message underneath, and seeing the old message underneath is palimpsest. Now, how does that work? Well, for example, if you take a very famous song like, I don't know, do you know the song Jolene? Yeah, by that country singer. Jolene. It doesn't matter. But there was a new version done of it by the White Stripes. Right? And the thing is that for most of the public, they know the first version very, very well. And so when they hear the second version, they're actually hearing both. The experience is like both. It's the same thing with when the Sex Pistols sing My Way, I Did It My Way, the original or the best known version, the serious version by Elvis Presley, and the Sex Pistols sarcastic version, but the second one works because we know the first one, and this is palimpsest, and it's very, very important. There are some simpler ideas of that as well. As you know, if you go to see a group, in particular a rock group in the wider sense, for me, a rock group, if they have a guitar, drums, and a singer, that's rock. So it's very, very wide. If you go to see them live, if they sing exactly the same as on the record, we're a little bit disappointed. If it is identical to the studio recording, we expect them to do something new with it. But we know the studio recording very well. And so again, we have palimpsest. What we're seeing is a variation, but we know it's a variation because we know the original. Okay. So let's have a look then at a few genres of music. Now, I won't get through all the genres before the end of term, and I'm not trying to do a directly chronological history of British popular music, but I want to look at some genres because the important thing is to see how can we study popular music. Now, genres appear regularly. For example, rap. It appeared. There was no rap before 1970. There was almost no rap before 1980. There was not much rap before 1990. And there was lots and lots of rap. Now, genres appear. Normally, they do not disappear. So even if you take a very old genre like brass band, le forfa de cuivre, it was massively popular 120 years ago. In 1900 in Britain, there were, I think, 30,000 brass bands. It was a huge thing. And of course, today, yeah. If one of your friends say, "I'm going to see a brass band next week," that would be quite surprising. But nevertheless, it has not disappeared. It doesn't. Very often, genres don't absolutely disappear; they become minority and speciality. Did I tell you about the Toulouse brass band group? I know a brass band group in Toulouse, and I liked their record, "God Save the Cuivre." Yeah. Quite amusing. Okay, so let's take the first one then, the one that started the longest ago, and this is folk. Folk music. Now, what is folk music? Well, first of all, folk music is generally not so much, it's not quite the same as traditional music, because quite very typically in Britain, and even in France, it's very often, in fact, a revival of traditional music. It's music we're playing today in a style which we claim to be traditional. They have done this for centuries. Perhaps they have, perhaps they haven't, but we're saying this is the way they've done it for centuries. In some countries, folk is very, very, what's the word, very, very integrated in society. In Ireland, if you go to Ireland and you go to a pub and you see a group of people playing playing Irish folk music, and they're not doing it for the tourists. They just do it every week because, and there's only six people in the pub, and that is really a folk tradition. Whereas in England and in many other countries, it's much more constructed. Yeah, that people like folk music, and so they decide to go to the folk club, specialist folk clubs, and they produce records on specialist record labels. And folk is the oldest of the genres we're going to look at, because it's based on elements of traditional music. And here are some of the most important characteristics, not all of them, but here are some of the most important characteristics. The first one, I'm talking about mostly about English folk music, but I can say a little bit about Irish and Scottish. Well, basically, it's very important to think about English folk music, because in France people know that there is Irish folk music, and they know that there is Scottish folk music, and nobody imagines that there is English folk music. Of course there is English folk music. So the traditional theme is very important. There are often, not always, but often songs about agriculture. You know, the harvest, the fair, the village fair, witchcraft. All of which are things which are not from our everyday life. And so, in many ways, folk does, but you know, just like many genres, allows us to travel elsewhere, just like, you know, gangster rap. I kind of assume that your everyday life does not involve generally killing policemen or being killed by policemen. Not every day, anyway. Yeah. And so if we like it, we like imagine ourselves somewhere else. And so the traditional theme is very, very important. Now, the songs may be new. They're not always traditional songs. But quite often they are new songs written about traditional themes. But this is not an absolute rule. You can write one about today, but usually the folk song is, you know, my Johnny was a carpenter. Yeah. If I was a carpenter, thank you. If I were a carpenter and you were a lady, or my Johnny was a shoemaker, you don't get, you know, my Johnny was a computer scientist. That doesn't make a folk song. We don't have folk songs about computer scientists or bank clerks. Welcome, sorry, take your time. Zen. And I just have one example for you to get us started. I'm going to play you short extracts. Of course, I'm not, because I'm not a disc jockey. I will not be playing lots of them or loud enough. No, I don't want to. No, I don't want to do that. So I have one here for you, I think. Yes. What would be the best one here? Oh, here's a nice Scottish one. It's always very frustrating, because if you should like any of them, you won't get to hear much of them. So how was that? I'm going to tell you, how was that a folk song? Well, a number of things. First of all, traditional instruments. Now, the fiddle is a traditional instrument, and very much rooted. It does have a rural history. I mean, in Ireland, they had different ways of playing the violin in different parts of the country. They did it in different ways, and that was important. So traditional instruments is part of it. Notice, in general, the valorization, I'm jumping down the list, the valorization of regional traits. That is in Scottish dialect. That's why you didn't understand any of it. Yeah. Although, in fact, I don't understand much of it either. But it's old-fashioned words as well. It's a dainty dish. That means a good thing to eat, but it's in old-fashioned English. So dialect being regional. The voice is very important in folk music. The voice is foregrounded, so it's not it's exactly not like, many kinds of rock after the 70s, where you can only hear the words if you can find the record cover or you search on the internet for the lyrics. But in folk, the voice is always forward. Very, very popular is reworking old songs. The lyrics you just heard were actually written by Robert Burns, some back hundreds of years ago. Yeah, so this is very typical. Now, the main value, the main aesthetic or ethical value of folk music is authenticity. And I was explaining to you that, you know, authenticity, you know, it's like, on dit en français, il ne faut pas toucher aux idoles. La dorure en reste aux mains. It's a bit like that. Authenticity is something everybody loves and nobody can actually find exactly. But it's very important to appear to be authentic. Now, this could be quite extreme in some cases. In the 70s, in the 60s and 70s, in English folk clubs, very often in the strict folk clubs, you're from Liverpool, you must sing Liverpool songs. Everybody must sing songs only from their own region. This is what being authentically cultural is. Now, this was kind of the extreme wing of the folk club music, of the folk club currents. So there we have. I think I've mentioned all these are the values of folk, and the final one is what we call. In fact, interestingly enough, so of course, folk has often been criticised. Yeah, it's like, well, it's just about nostalgia for village life, and in fact, this is not what village life was really like. It's an imagination of, you know, life was simpler. And perhaps, you know, perhaps it's not completely untrue. So who likes folk music in England? Or what, if you take 100 people who love folk music, what do they have in common? Difficult question, but, you know, it might be, you know, that people might like the idea that life a long time ago in the village was simpler, and the modern life is very complicated, and we were closer to nature. Most of this is nonsense, yeah? But you know, it's a feeling. But there is also something about the music, because I'm sure you don't know English folk music well, or even Scottish. There has to be a certain thing that it's like, you know, when you just hear that little bit, you either like it or you don't. Or you like it enough, oh yes, I'll listen to some more. But if you don't like it, you don't like it, and that's the end of the story. And those are things which you can't ligue, you can't do much with it. Now, some of the greater English folk singers are people like Sandy Denny. This is mostly in the 60s. So this is one of the revivals. I was thinking a little more generally about folk music. Well, I'll just give you one more. Then I might have a Sandy Denny for you. Sandy Denny is stunning. I'm going to start in the middle. Okay, the story is her boyfriend has been arrested. Why has been arrested? Because he shot deer in the forest, and the deer actually belonged to the king. And he's been taken to London, and they're going to hang him. And so she gets on a horse and rides down to London quickly to beg for the life of Geordie, but she gets there, and it's too late, and he's already been hung. A fairly standard folk song. So it's an old song sung again in the 60s and still popular among folkies today. So that gives us perhaps another characteristic of folk music, melodramatic. We like melodramatic stories, although that's not so exceptional. Heavy metal also likes melodramatic stories. In fact, popular culture in general really likes melodramatic stories. You know, you don't... even if you go to see a really popular film, it's not usually about what happened when I went to see my bank about insurance for my holiday. You know, it's normally more melodramatic than that. Perhaps another thing, perhaps there is in folk music, perhaps there is an aesthetic of naivety. That it's not easy to imagine a cynical folk song. It's easier to imagine a cynical punk song, or even perhaps a cynical rock song, although these things are not common. Now, the first documents we have of folk music go back to the 16th century. And we have tens of thousands of songs from the 18th century and the 19th century and so on and so forth. Sometimes folk songs were very I can't even remember how to say it in English. Bawdy, on dit en français. Bayard ou Crivois, yeah, that they could be. And now this is interesting because when the revivals came, the first revival at the end of the 19th century and the second revival in the 1960s, very often the very sexy songs are not revived. Yeah. And so what you have is a choice. Well, I mean, when I say bawdy, I mean really, really bawdy. Yeah. I mean, the sort of song that you wouldn't have on the radio today, even today. Yeah. Let's say detailed description. Let's say okay. So that's something interesting. Sometimes songs are political. There's quite a tradition of political songs, in particular when they're about regional politics. Again, on the melodramatic side, Matty Groves is a wonderful song. And it's about the peasant, and he meets the wife of the Lord, and the Lord is away, and so he sleeps with the wife of the Lord. But one of the servants goes to tell the Lord, and the Lord comes back on his horse and arrives there and challenges Matty Groves to a duel, and Matty Groves is killed. And then the Lord asks his wife, "Do you prefer me or your dead lover?" And she says, "Oh, I prefer my dead lover." Elle avait peur de sauce de tactique. And so he kills her as well. And then they bury them both. It's a very, very typical love song. But also it's very important from the point of view of reworking, because there are 100 versions of Matty Groves. And every new today's modern verse, they're supposed to add something musically. This is Matty Groves. Now, the musical side is important. I mean, I think already you just heard 3 minutes, but you liked it or you didn't like it. You can't really choose about it. Now, one of the things which is certainly missing from the point of view of even my generation, and certainly your generation, is that the big reorganisation of the 60s, the birth of rock and roll, which is still has its echoes today, is that popular music was reorganised around youth, energy and the body. Youth, energy and the body. This was the thing. And whereas here, you see that folk music is not really about youth. Lots of songs about old people. Energy, well, you get a bit of energy, but it's more. There's a wonderful American comic singer called Tom Lehrer, and he did parodies of different kinds of song. And he did a parody of a folk song, which was extremely, extremely funny. And he said, you know, the real lovers of folk are people who find that singing 50 verses of On Top of Old Smoky is twice as enjoyable as singing 25. Yeah. So this sort of image. Now, because of that, no doubt, after the 1960s, you began to get folk rock. So you got some of the great tunes of folk music, but it became more rocky. And let me just give you one of the examples here. This is Run Rig, a very traditional song, a Scottish patriotic song. If you take that, you'll take the high road and I'll take the low road, and I'll be in Scotland before you. That's the very, very traditional song. But they do it as something which seems old-fashioned today, but was original then. That's the audience. So you can see that's really folk rock. Stadium is not typical for folk. Folk is supposed to be 20 people in a pub, probably drunk. You sing a song, and then you sing a song, and then I'll sing a song. And that's the stereotype of folk music. Now, of course, that's not really possible when you're making records and concerts and trying to make enough money to live on in the modern world. But that's the echo of village life when it was a small number of people singing. Now, probably one of the unrealistic things about folk music is that if you go back to the 19th century village, people didn't sing very well. However, they were very good at the fiddle. From the point of view of the music, so there you heard a little bit of traditional folk and a little bit of folk rock. A priori, would you be more interested in folk rock or more interested in the traditional thing? More the traditional one. Okay. What about you guys? Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, so I think that might be because 1970s folk rock is still 1970s, you know, and whereas the other thing is something further distant. Now, this can go even further. Well, first of all, let me say something about the politics, and that is that was the patriotic Scottish song. Yeah. However, you can sing it in very, very different ways. 30 years earlier, this group sang it, and this was a very different conception of folk music. It's the same song. So that's something very different. That's actually a classically trained choir singing folk music. So you've got the folk music, and you can take it in different ways. And sometimes this has had political side to it. That some quite conservative cultural circles have wanted to take folk music and put it with classical choral things as a symbol. That why? Because folk music is about the national soul. That's the idea. And this was folk music and patriotism is very important. When I was young at school, what we learnt was folk singing in school. It was the official. And since 1906, the school songbooks has very often been folk music. And we were singing songs about how we won the war against the Spanish. Like in 17, I don't know, you know, all these songs about how we won the war against the Spanish, you know. On the other hand, the Run Rig thing is more populist and more so on. Now you do get, especially after the second big. I'm not going to talk about the early 1900s. After the second big revival in the 1960s, you get quite a number of political songs. Now, the folk revival in Britain in the 1950s, 1960s owes a lot to the folk revival in America, that Woody Guthrie, the American singer-songwriter who died in 1967, and in the 40s and 50s, along with many of people around him who were in the American Communist Party, they decided, well, folk music is the music of the people, and we're going to use it against the pop music, which is making money for the huge capitalist industries. And so he sang a lot of political songs, This Land Is Your Land, All You Fascists Are Bound to Lose, lots of anti-fascist songs, and so on. And so this idea that in some ways folk music was the people's music against the elites, that came, and this came to Britain under the guise of Ewan McColl. Ewan McColl was the leader in Britain. I think he was in the Communist Party. The Communist Party in Britain, I should say, has never been a mass party like in France. And in France, at some point, you got 6 million votes for the Communist Party, you know. And the Communist Party has never been a mass party, but it has often had a big influence. So they sometimes had two members of parliament, you know, no more. But it has often had a big influence in the movement, in the unions. So where have we got Ewan McColl? Ewan McColl and Peggy Seeger. And there you can see that they produced Songs of Struggle. Yeah, Songs of Struggle. So, les chansons de la lutte. Okay, so that's the political side of it. And sometimes they play traditional songs, but very often they write their own songs in the style of traditional songs. And I'm just going to try and find one of you one for you by, unless I don't have it. Yes. There you go. Again in Scottish dialect.
We're all met together here to sit and to crack. We are glasses in our hands and our work upon our back. And there's no treat among the mocking, either men or mat. If it wasn't for the work of the weavers, if it wasn't for the weavers, what would we do? We would make a cloth made of oor woo. We would make a coat neither black nor blue. And it wasn't for the work of the weavers. The hireman shields, they mock us and crack our boots. They say that we are thin-faced, bleached like clouts. And yet for all their mockery, they cannae be we utes. Nah, they winna want the work of the weavers. If it wasn't for the weavers, what would we do? We wouldna hae claith made of oor woo. We wouldna hae a coat neither black nor blue. And it wasn't for the work of the weavers.
Okay, so this is a song to the glory of the weavers, les tissons, and it simply says, you know, if it wasn't for the weavers, what would we do? We wouldn't have any clothes and we wouldn't have any coats. So this is part of the folk revival, and the idea, let's have a song about how important a group of workers is. So it's a long way from, at the same time, rock and roll, which is, I think rock and roll is wonderful. It's very individualist. That's what, you know, how will I find a girl on a Saturday night? You know, how I am the best dancer and I've got the best blue suede shoes. It's all very individualist. And now individualism has both positive and negative sides. It's kind of nice that we don't all have to dress the same. You know, we can choose. But of course, there's negative sides as well. I'm not saying anything against individualism. But it's interesting that folk deliberately tried to resist a certain individualism. Now, it's very, very difficult to do, of course, with just a musical movement, but that was part of the ideas. And one of the things that they managed to do on the radio, which was particularly impressive, was was the radio ballads. These were actually done for the BBC, and Ewan McCall and Peggy Seeger, they produced a series of albums. I think there's five of them, and each one was about a group of workers. This one is about fisher folk. And what they did is they went to live with the fisher people, with the fisher folk, for a couple of months, and interviewed them, and got information about their lives, and then wrote songs about them. Okay. And so it's the actual radio ballad is like 45 minutes long. It's an album, but it was also on the radio, with some interviews and some songs about their work and what's hard. Now, they have to choose carefully, because again, as I say, you know, if it was, you know, supermarket cashiers, it's not got the same romance as fishermen. You know, there is something, it can be criticized. They did one of the fishermen. They did one on the first motorway, the M1. The workers who built the motorway, and they asked them about what it was like and where they came from. And half of them were Irish, and 10% were black, and the others were Italian. There were two Englishmen in the middle, something like that. You know, it was kind of documentary and social as well. That's something, one thing that has been done with folk music. So as the rock. Advanced, and Bob Dylan, for example, came from the folk tradition, but very rapidly, he was a very creative guy. He sung some traditional songs at the beginning, but that really wasn't his thing. He was a poet, and so he went further and further. And then also he changed his music, and famously he picked up an electric guitar, and the folk media were very shocked. The story is that Pete Seeger wanted to take an axe to his electric guitar, which may be an exaggerated story. But actually, folk rock went quite a long way, and even as far as the punk rock. And there were, I don't know, do you know of the group that tried to mix Irish folk and punk rock? This is what it comes up with. It's the Pogues. That's what they do, the Pogues. That is... Okay, so you've got a lot of characteristics of punk there. First of all, it starts very fast. Rock and roll songs often start slowly and accelerate, and punk begins fast and finishes fast. The prominent drums are very punk, and also the use of the very approximate use of voice. Yeah, there's no attempt to be virtuoso about the voice. On the contrary, you're supposed to sound désabusé, you know, a bit cynical and so on. But I think the theme is a traditional song about missing your girlfriend. So again, you know, so folk mixed with rock, folk mixed with punk rock, and I have one more example here to show you, because in the meantime there had been a great revival in the 60s of Irish folk music, and in particular the Chieftains and the Dubliners were the two great Irish groups, sold millions of copies. And the Dubliners are great to see in concert. And one of the things that they do, which is incredible, is that they always have somebody playing as first part, of course. And then the Dubliners play. And they always do a joint song with the first part at the end. Even if the first part was reggae, rap, heavy metal, it doesn't matter. They do something which is really pretty impressive. And this is a very famous... So the Dubliners are more like traditional traditional Irish folk. Traditional revived Irish folk, and the Pogues, of course, the punk, and here they are singing together. Alors pourquoi vous n'avez pas à l'écran?
Découvrez la collection Black Venerdì, frissonnez de plaisir avec le cuir à 1964€. 1570 si vous venez habillé en noir grâce à 20% de remise en plus. Dernier jour, samedi.
Poltrone sofa, solo divani di qualità, et voilà!
I've got this back to front and upside down. Now where is my where's it gone? There it is. Non merci. Play. Okay, I'm afraid we're going to stop there. I think we're going to stop that song there. So you can see, could you guess which one was the traditional folk singer and which one was the punk? Yeah, okay. So this is very, very much about the values, because look at the punk value. This guy, he does have enough money for a dentist. Yeah, it's not because... Now, it may be that he was poor when he was young, and that's why he has such bad teeth. But he does have the... But he's deliberately not doing it. That's part of the punk aesthetic, that the punk narrator is the loser. But, of course, it's all partly theatre, because he's also happy to play together. I'm not... You know, I think that's good. They're happy to play together. So what are they saying? Because, you know, really, at many moments, lovers of folk music hated punk. And lovers of punk music hated folk. And yet here, what are they saying? I'm not sure, but perhaps they're saying we're all Irish. Notice the difference of accent as well. The old gentleman with the beard has this incredible Irish accent. Whereas the other guy doesn't. So that was like that was something very interesting, which I don't know if I can do this for me. How do I stop it now? Let's try that first. Let's just see if I think it better just close it. Well, it's set up for two screens, and I don't know how to set it up not for two screens anyway. So that's just another example. But I think that's quite a good example, because really there's always new things you can do with folk or punk, or and you find things. I mentioned to you last week about that synth pop band who suddenly made an anti-fascist song that you're never actually sure that's going to go. In the folk rock, this is probably the greatest of the folk rock Fairport Convention. Richard Thompson was the guitarist. This is English, and there are then the Irish, the Dubliners, and the Chieftains. Those were the two huge bands from the 70s and 80s and 90s. The Chieftains were rather different, because the Chieftains generally did not sing. It was instrumental music with more people in the band and more traditional instruments, very fast, very interesting, whereas the Dubliners was usually traditional songs. And there's the Pogues then, the bottom, the punk, and Runrig. That was the stadium rock people. Of course, they didn't begin as stadium rock, because you can't begin as stadium rock, you're not well known. Now, it's not finished because there's a new generation along today. Because it's true that the folk was very big in the 70s and 80s. There were thousands of folk clubs around the country. Now, in any town with a population of 30,000 people, there was a folk club. Okay, there were only 50 people in the folk club, but in every town, so it was a significant thing. Even though it was not like big enough to be at the top of the top 20 or anything like that, but it was a big thing. But it has continued as a minority interest, and things like the Cambridge Folk Festival every year are very big things. Now, they had a couple of political problems. Because one of the things about loving folk music is they discovered that as Britain became more and more multicultural, it was not easy to have a multicultural audience for English folk music, where the whole value is traditional English village life. Now, traditional English village life doesn't speak to a lot of today's computer scientists or factory workers, but you can imagine it could speak even less to people whose grandparents came from India, and so this was a sort of conversation being had. And one of the results is that the Cambridge Folk Festival, in particular, has an incredibly wide definition of folk, and so you'll get reggae bands and things in there. And indeed, some of the events of folk will now be labelled folk and roots, the lichasim. Which is not exactly a genre of music, but it is almost. So the new generation, here's the new generation. Kate Rudbit, new generation compared with me. She was born in 1973, so okay, she's old, but she's not as old as me. But look about this then. This is the Young Folk Award. That's 2019, but still every year the BBC gives a Young Folk Award, I would say, so not just a folk award, but a folk award to the most promising young performer. Now, this is a minority interest, but nevertheless, it's not just for old people. There's again, this is the next one, the Young Folk Award. There she is, the winner of the Young Folk Award. And you can see that she's got her traditional instrument. And this is the other thing I want to show you, because folk singers are sometimes criticised. Because you're just imagining a perfect life in villages 100 years ago, 200 years ago. It's just fantasy, really. And so this group of coaches said, oh, well, we're going to form a new folk group. And the name of our group is The Imagined Village. Yeah, so it's a kind of sarcastic response. Yeah, okay, we're imagining it. We're still going to do it. And the other question, as I already mentioned to you, this of, is it only for white people? The Folk Show is a weekly show on BBC. It's also a podcast on the BBC Radio with Mark Radcliffe. Regularly they will try to open this conversation. Here you can see that this particular week they had an episode, The Commonwealth of Folk, because it was the Commonwealth Games in Birmingham, so they took folk from around the Commonwealth, so some from India, some from Kenya, and so on. So again, trying to not be only for white people, and this is not necessarily very easy. I was in Lorient for the Festival Interceltique, and there's a huge procession of folk music, and you could see 10 or 15 black people in the bands. I mean, out of 6,000, yeah, but it did exist. So there you go. And you can see that here, folk singer, the best duo of the year. So the folk singer of the year was won by Connolly, and the best duo was these two people. So it's not always only white people. Well, whatever your subject of study in Britain, whether it's education or pop music or cinema or football or politics, the conversation about multiculturalism is right at the centre and will not go away. And those English people who are thinking, oh, I don't want to think about that, it would be better if they thought about it. It's not going to go away. It's going to get bigger. So what we've got finally here? Oh, the Cambridge Folk Festival. There you go. That's the Cambridge Folk Festival from last year. And if you look at them now, of course, most of these are going to be British, but some American, I imagine. Dust Bowl Revival is American. Chico Trujillo, and probably South American. I'm just trying to see if you can see much about it. Yeah, much about it, probably not. Well, there they are. The Cambridge Folk Festival is an important annual event every August. The Cambridge Folk Festival attracts over 12,000 people to experience a four-day showcase of the best folk and roots music from around the from across the globe. 24% come from Cambridge, 4% from Cambridgeshire, the county just around outside Cambridge, 71% from the rest of the UK, and 1% from outside the UK. So it's not a big international attraction. The most popular age group is not yours, it's mine. J'ose la voir parce que c'est très large quand même. J'ai plus de 46 ans un peu. 96% are employed or retired. Okay. But actually, the last one is the most interesting. 70% have a degree or a postgraduate qualification. 70% ont des diplômes universitaires. It is something which has tended to attract more the middle class, as we say in Britain. Remember that in America, middle class has a completely different meaning. In Britain, the middle class is, you know, people who have a job which is a little prestigious. Yeah. Otherwise, we say working class. Apparently, the absolute typical people to like folk music are people who were brought up in working class families and then got a middle class job. You know, people like me, I love it. There you go. They made all this fit for me. Okay, so that is folk music, and the idea is to look at the genre, to look at some of these questions of authenticity, genre values, genre constraints. If I'm lucky, you will go away at the end of the term thinking, oh my God, popular music is so much more complicated than I think. Yeah. But in general, in university, this is our general job. We want everybody to go away at the end of every semester saying that it was more complicated than I think, because it really is. I've been learning about popular music for 30 years. I just have time to start the next genre. And I'm not going to do all the genres, but I do 10 genres or so to give you some idea of this. Music hall of variety. It's the same thing. Now, notice that variety is not variété in French. It's more, would be more théâtre de variété, so it was really old stuff. Now, this was extremely popular from 1860 to 1929. 1860, so for a long time, yeah? For 60 years, it was huge. It was the centre of working class musical entertainment. It was very cheap. It was cheap. Nobody had a radio. The BBC began in 1922. Working class people didn't have a gramophone. Where did they get the music? Well, they could get the music at the music hall, or street singers, or singing at home, or in the pub. But the street singers sang musical songs. And at home or in the pub, you sang musical songs. Music hall was the centre. Although music hall actually was a rather strange show. If you were a music hall singer in 1910, you had 15 minutes. You had 15 minutes on the stage after the acrobats and before the elephants. Sometimes literally after the acrobats and before the elephants. And this made a huge difference to your singing. Also, there are 3,000 people in the theatre, and you don't have a microphone because nobody's invented microphones yet. So you can imagine that you can't do intimate romantic after the acrobats and before the elephants and without the microphone. And so it was very much about humorous songs at the centre. Not necessarily humour we would find, not sophisticated humour. Not sophisticated humour. And here are the characteristics which I think are the most important ones. Number one, sing-along. You go there because you want to sing all together in the chorus. And indeed, the singers were not too worried about having an excellent voice. That was not a problem. They were anyway. So, oh, that was... Just let's have just the ladies singing it now. oh, I wonder if the men can do better than that. You know, it's like animateur, you know, they were getting the thing going. Got to be a live show. You could get musical records once the gramophone went right, but it was not at the centre, I think. Humour, extremely important humour. All the songs were funny, not very funny. One of the big hits of the First World War was "I can't do my belly bottom button up. J'arrive pas à fermer le dernier bouton de ma veste." Alors, le challenge du semestre, c'est de le réécrire en rap. Yeah, ouais, oui, il faut se lever tôt. Respectability and suggestiveness, very, very important. Now, at the very beginning of musical in the 19th century, it could be rude. It could be bawdy. But by the 20th century, it was suggestive. There's a song about a lady who takes the train on her own. You're supposed to be shocked. Yeah. Exactly, yeah? And the chorus is, "She had never had her ticket punched before." Yeah? And that is absolutely typical musical, yeah? And of course, everybody's singing together, "Oh, she never had a ticket punched before." It is a reflection of a society where people really did not talk about sex. And therefore, it has a thing for it. It's not romantic. Even when there is a love song, it's because I have met the perfect girl. She is perfect in every way. She is so beautiful. I am so in love. Now, that's actually not romantic, bizarrely enough, because it's too... romantic is supposed to be that I am all churned up and moved by my emotions. You know, so very, very... Until romance will arrive a little later. Many themes from everyday working class life. How annoying my mother-in-law is. My boyfriend will not ask me to marry him because he's too shy. That was a favourite theme. Because it was not a society where young women could ask young men about marriage. But the men, as you know, were terrified. Yeah, it's just terrifying. And so there used to be lots of songs about shy boyfriends. Walter, Walter, lead me to the altar. And the final thing, and I'm going to stop for today now because I have to run away and do something else, is neighbourliness. The singer spoke to the audience as if they were neighbours. Yeah. And so the singers had working class names, Fred, Matt, Edna, very working class names, even if it was not their real name. One third of the singers were women. Now, at this time when most older women did not work, that's actually quite significant. It's quite a lot. I mean, because it's not la parité, but it's actually quite a lot. And it was one way that women who didn't want to be absent from the public sphere could get into it. Although, you know, it was considered to be a bit risky. You had to take the train on your own. The music hall singer went from town to town, a new town every week. And they had to have everybody sing along. If only half the audience sing along, you might not have a job next week. Your job is to make everybody sing. And that is musical. I will be back, not next week, but the week after next. Keep it, do have